Welcome back to the Sports Grill. One final segment before we wrap it up. We're going to talk about, would you, as a GM, sign a player that your fans don't like? This is a very interesting topic. And it's where, you know, you go and put your personal feelings against your professional feelings. And a lot of the time, for a lot of these GMs, a lot of the time they can't get it out of the way, you know, and do what's best for the team. Sometimes they take it too personal. You know, so everybody says, oh, it's just business. It's never personal. But how often does that come true? I mean, a lot of the times it does get personal. People remember. People hold grudges. Yeah. And you know what? That's unfortunate, I think. You know, the example I'm going to lead off with here is the GM of the Baltimore Orioles, Dan Duquette. He said that they wouldn't sign Jose Bautista because the fans don't like him. That's been met so far with, I would say, 65% Orioles applause from the fans and 35%, oh, that's stupid, if you would help the team do it. Like, that's stupid. And I'm like, you know, how do you feel?
I feel if the player gives you a better chance, even if it's one game better than the year before, you sign him, especially if it's someone who has a game-changing bat like Jose Bautista. You might be getting a 250 average with that, but, you know, as we've seen, you leave a pitch up, he's going to crush it deep in the left field and, you know, it changes the entire complexity of a game. I think as a GM, you need to separate yourself from being a fan. I mean, I brought to you, this is the example I was going to tell you during our break.
Okay.
If I'm the GM of the Chicago Bears and Aaron Rodgers becomes a free agent after this year, I am doing anything I can to sign him.
Right.
Because he helps me beat the Green Bay Packers and everyone else.
Right.
He's better than my options that I have on my roster right now, and Jay Cutler, even Matt Barkley.
That's true.
Even though Matt Barkley is playing really nice right now, but I don't know if he can sustain that.
I doubt it.
Seeing as how there's no film on him right now, he's basically pulling a Carson Wentz. Sorry to put that on you. But if the player gives you the better chance, then you have to do it. Now, if it's something like a lower tier level, like let's say it's a bench player let's just say it's AJ Pierzynski, and obviously the Chicago Cub fans don't like him because, you know, during his time with the White Sox, they were always spitting each other back and forth. Yeah.
He had some tune.
So like right now, if AJ Pierzynski became a free agent and the Cubs needed a backup catcher and they were like, nah, we're not going to sign him.
Yeah.
Like, that would be fine, but you're talking about someone who is going to be in your lineup every day in Bautista. Now, the trouble I see that with Baltimore is they're a team, stats prove it last year, depend way too much on hitting home runs.
Yep.
They have no small ball approach at all.
Well, that's Buck Showalter too, but
that is true, but obviously more needs to happen with their lineup as opposed to hoping to God that you hit a home run and put a run up on the board, and then hoping your pitching staff, which needs work too, can hold the opposition down. So they need more than just Jose Bautista.
They destroyed their win projection, by the way.
There's
no way this team should have made the playoffs.
Oh, no.
My dad's an Orioles fan, you know, but I mean, you're right. I mean, I have no idea how, with that pitching staff, they did that. You know what, their bullpen in second half, stellar. That's how they did it.
Except for that wild card game where Britton's still sitting on the bench.
Yeah, and he's still sitting on the bench the entire offseason.
Yep.
He's getting plenty of rest for opening day 2017, though.
Yep.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it's just my point of you just have to do anything to make your team better. If Bautista can do that, then yeah. If on a personal level you don't like him and you can see him not getting along with your clubhouse, like that type of thing, you can live with the fans not liking your players. You know why? Because fans are quick to forget, especially if you hit a walk-off against the Yankees or Red Sox or the Indians, and especially if that walk-off propels you further into the playoffs or even gets you into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Fans will forget all about what he did with Toronto if
That's
he's
right.
doing well with Baltimore. So it doesn't make any sense. So unless he somehow wronged you on a personal level, anyway, I can't really say an example, but you can kind of figure out what I'm going with. There's no reason not to at least like have a talk with him and give him a phone call or something like that.
Yeah, and no, I agree with you. You bring up a good point of the GM can't make the decisions based off what the fans want because the fans aren't in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And of course, you want to appease your fans. Your fans are the lifeline of your team. If you have no fans, you don't sell tickets, you don't sell jerseys. Your money's gonna dry up. You know, baseball, they have revenue sharing, so. I mean, you basically become the Rays. Ouch. just kidding. you know, rely on a revenue sharing and all that.
That's a whole different story.
Yeah, that's,
topic.
That you could do.
We could cover three hours.
Yeah,
with
exactly. No, but I'm saying, you know, of course you want to appease your fans and, you know, do what makes your fans happy. But, you know, as the boss, you got to do what you think is best. Like you said, not worry about what the fans will think, because, you know, exactly. The first time that he gets thrown at by his former teammate in Toronto when he starts charging them out in an Orioles uniform, they're going to back him, you know? So, I mean, it doesn't take much to flip the script. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of things, like you said, a lot of things can be forgiven, like, over the course, especially in the offseason. Like, people don't like Jose Bautista, but, you know, in the playoffs, you know, they don't like him, you know, but the next season it's completely different, you know? So things soften, and I think that would be the case with him. I think that the Orioles... I think they should just avoid him because he's kind of declining and he's getting older. He's like 36 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not what he used to be. Can still be dangerous in a pinch. But I think they should just let him, you know, do his thing, because, like you kind of said, he's kind of the player that they already have.
Yeah.
He plays pretty good defense, pretty good arm. But, you know, they need to get a little bit younger, a little bit, you know. They were talking about an article that said they might eventually have to deal Manny Machado just to get, like, a huge return.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, I mean, we've seen huge returns that can, you know, jumpstart a farm system like that. Or, you know, if you trade one superstar and you get a ton of draft picks, it can shore up, you know, half your offense. Mm-hmm. You know, NFL, we've seen that happen before. And MLB, it's a little different because, you know, players come along at different speeds and different positions develop differently. And, you know, there's nuances at every position at the MLB level. And it's really hard. And, you know, you can't just plug in guys.
Yeah.
So it's hard. But I think that, you know, while Orioles got to get younger, I think they're smart to not go after him. I don't know if, you know, keeping it personal is the best reason, so to speak. Like I said, I think I agree with you. You got to keep your options open. Kind of like what the Eagles did when the Eagles signed DeMarco Murray a couple years ago. It turned out to be a disaster, but which doesn't make sense because he ran the same offense at Oklahoma with Sam Bradford. So it doesn't make any sense.
True, but this is also going back to what I said earlier about signing free agents to keep them away from other teams. The only reason the Eagles signed DeMarco Murray was because they didn't want him staying on the Dallas Cowboys.
And you know what? And it worked for that season.
It worked for that season.
But Romo got hurt and they went 4-12.
Yeah, and then what did the Eagles do that year?
We went 6-10.
Yeah, okay, congratulations.
Yeah.
You got 6 wins with DeMarco Murray.
It was spiteful. It was a spiteful 6-10. And you know what? This is a whole different bag of worms. But I think I almost think the Philadelphia fans like seeing their rivals lose more than they like seeing us win, to be completely honest.
Just knowing that you're better than them because of that.
Yeah,
you can go 7-9, but if the Cowboys, Giants, and Redskins all go 5-11,
and it's kind of sad. You know, we like to see them fail more than, you know. I mean, we love to see our teams win, but we enjoy seeing them fail so much that, you know, it's not a healthy thing. But
now sticking with a similar topic as the Bautista one, with the fans not liking him and not signing him. Okay, so how would you say DeSean Jackson left Philadelphia? Good terms, bad terms, middle?
I think that people had no problem with him. They were kind of, I mean, he's been doing antics since he got there.
Right.
He's been a little bit of a nuisance since he got there. But he always, you know, there were games he would disappear, of course. But there's, you know, those big impact plays he would always make that, you know, bring you right back. It's like a good shot in golf, you know. Like he'll hit that home run or he'll hit that 300-yard drive, you know, and down the middle. It'll make you, you know, want to realize, man, this is what he can do. We need him. I think he would be embraced with open arms if he came back, because him and McCoy have mentioned that they have no problems with Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. They had a problem with Chip Kelly.
Ah.
So that makes a big, big difference.
Right.
I personally would take both of them back in a heartbeat. We might have lost a couple of their prime years, but they're still better than what we have.
Yeah.
So.
Except for Sproles.
Sproles is obviously a beast, and I love Sproles. Everybody loves Darren Sproles. He's arguably the most beloved Eagle on the team. And not that I think Wendell Smallwood's going to be a bad player either, because he can run the ball pretty well, the rookie out of West Virginia. But our wide receiving core is awful, you know. We always, you know, first-round pick Nelson Aguilar, so far been a bust. Doriel Green Beckham, you know, former first-round talent from Oklahoma, you know, he's had his issues. He's been a bust, you know. Jordan Matthews is a great slot receiver. He's not a number one receiver, though. You know, and he's also gotten hurt again. Mm-hmm. you know, maybe Zach Ertz is finally turning the corner, but I feel like we say that every season.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just a quick summary about the Eagles. Yeah. But, and, you know, from a fan's perspective, I would take them back in a heartbeat. I think so would the organization, because I think they realized that they made a mistake with Chip Kelly, and everybody realizes it, so they'd be ready to move on and flip the page.